Let's do this!
A swing and a belt. Left field. Way back. Blue Jays win it.
Oh, God. Down the sideline. Wow. Touchdown.
Unbelievable.
Trying to finish it.
It's over. It's over.
Here's a chance. That call. Shot. Rebound. Score. How's it going, everybody? Matt Robinson back here with you in the TCA studios. Hope you're all doing well, surviving this heat wave anyway, if you're here on the East Coast with us. If not, just social distancing, all that good stuff that the experts are telling you to do. Really glad you tuned in today. Got a great guest for you. It is former NHLer and TSN's current lead hockey analyst, Ray Ferraro, is here. We've teed that up on a couple earlier episodes. Certainly, if you've been following us on social media, you knew that was coming. It's here today, and we couldn't be happier that Ray took a little time to join us. I mentioned that we made that announcement first on social media. That was at Tall Can Audio on Twitter and Instagram, facebook.com/tallcanaudio. If you want to get a little bit of inside scoop or, I don't know, just see what we're drinking here on the show as we move through some of these craft beers, that's a great place to do it. Make sure you are subscribed to the podcast wherever you're listening right now, whether it be on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Pods, Stitcher, wherever. Tune in, iHeartRadio. We're everywhere, man. We are absolutely everywhere these days. Make sure you hit the subscribe button, the follow button, whatever they might be calling it there. We've had some great guests and some great shows here lately. We plan on continuing that trend for you. You're not going to want to miss it, so make sure you hit the subscribe button, like I said. Ray Ferraro, man, former New York Islander, Ranger, Hartford Whaler, Atlanta Thrasher, LA Kings, St. Louis Blue. Now, the guy you see every Christmas at the World Juniors, World Championships, certainly across the TSN network, whenever something big's going down, Ray gets called in, whether it be to call a game or for trade deadline, free agent frenzy. The guy has become, you know, the lead analyst for the network, as I said. So he is, at this point, as well known as any of their personalities, and I think pretty well regarded as the best in the business at his job. So really cool of him to take a little bit of time for us. We won't waste any more time. We'll get right to it. It's Ray Ferraro from TSN here on the Tall Can Audio Podcast Network. All right, as promised, happy to welcome to the podcast Ray Ferraro, TSN's lead analyst. How are you doing today?
I'm doing okay. We're all well, and so that's kind of the thing we strive for these days, I think.
Honestly, yeah. Out here in Ontario, things still seem to be ramping up, and we're kind of on the lockdown. I know BC, where you're based, you're a little bit ahead of us. Are things loosening up a little bit? Or?
Yeah, they are. I would say, generally speaking, we've got a couple advantages in this thing. Number one, our spring break had not happened yet,
right?
For school, so you know, just by the fortune of the calendar, nobody was out around the world or wherever they might have gone on vacation. Certainly in the East, you know, people would have been in Florida, and
but
we didn't have that, and so. That was one thing. Number two is we do have rather plentiful, I guess I would say, outdoor space. Mm-hmm. And so people are able to get out and go for a walk, and that's helped keep sanity. so things are moving along a little bit. I go to the grocery store. I'm not altogether comfortable being there.
Yeah.
You know, I've got a mask on and wash my hands 53 times. And, you know, it's like, it just doesn't, even though we're steps ahead, mm-hmm. at this point, it doesn't feel like it per se. Even though we're, you know, I play golf; that's my passion. But
I was gonna
able
say,
to play.
Got the courses back open. Yeah,
courses are open now.
Nice.
Again, everything's different.
Yep,
but that's okay.
Sure,
you know, it's like, I could go, like for example, there's a bakery that I really like in the little town we live in, and I can go there now. There can only be three people in the bakery. You know, so like if you need a scone, you go stand in the street.
Right.
Right. And wait until your turn comes up.
Sure.
And so, but the thing is, like, I'm okay with whatever we have to do. Our health minister out here, her name is Dr. Bonnie Henry, and she has come across as so empathetic, so compassionate, so knowledgeable. It's like people are like, yeah, okay, Bonnie Henry says this, so this is what we do.
Yeah.
And so I'm really, we're lucky here. First of all, we're lucky to be in Canada,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to, you know,
yeah,
some of the
some
chaos
crazy
going
stuff.
On.
Yeah.
Yeah. And yet in BC, we feel really lucky, I think, generally speaking, because of the way things have been managed. Now, it's not 100%. Like, you know, we've had days where you look at the beach and there's thousands of people out there. And so what they do is they just close all access to the beach and they say, well, you guys can't go back.
You can't be trusted. So, sorry.
Right. And so the one thing, Matt, I guess that has become the most frustrating part for me is that, you know, we're hearing a lot about, well, you know, it's my right to be outside. Yeah. It's my right to do this. It's my. The whole point is not you, it's somebody else.
Right.
And that you might be fine, but if you transmit it to somebody who's not fine,
right,
then they've got a problem. Yep. Or they go home and transmit it to their partner who has a compromised immune system. I don't know.
That's it's me. Not, I've had a kidney transplant. I have a compromised immune system. I'm counting on people to take this seriously, right? Like I.
And so when people ask us to wear a mask, I'm like, it's not even a sacrifice.
It's not.
Just put the damn mask on.
Yeah. Well, I go all the way back to like the very beginning of this where there was memes and stuff coming out across the internet that was like, our grandparents were asked to go fight in a trench in you know, Western Europe somewhere. You're being asked to sit on the couch for a couple of weeks. Like, maybe you can handle that, right? Like,
right. Now, I saw this great cartoon. Of course, we got lots of time to be online and all that
sure,
stuff.
Yeah.
But so I saw this great cartoon, and it's these two guys. They're animated characters, right? And one guy is peeing on the other guy's feet.
Okay.
And so the next cartoon is the guy's wearing underwear. And it says 70% better chance that the other guy doesn't get pee on his feet. And then the third one, the guy's wearing pants.
Right.
And they're like 97% chance. And I'm like, hell, it was so brilliant. I'm like, none of us can understand virus transmission.
No.
But I can understand that.
Yeah, for sure.
And I'm like, that was... Some cartoonists got that one.
Yeah,
for me.
We need it dumbed down for us a little bit, and then that's okay. So
yeah.
I guess one of the first things I want to ask you here, Ray, is normally we've had some pretty good luck around here on our little show of being able to lure in some of the local TSN guys or guys who come into town to do Senators games and stuff. And normally we do it with local craft beer, and that's a part of our show here is we like to, when my co-host is in especially, we'll try a different local craft beer and talk about that and then get off and running on whatever we're doing. And unfortunately, it's not really an option right now. My co-host can't be in studio. We certainly can't be bringing other people in. But my listeners have been on me as we've had some pretty good luck here bringing in some other, you know, people just remotely. And they want me asking, so I'll ask you, are you a craft beer guy at all? Is that something that's on your radar? Do you travel a lot? Be quite an opportunity.
Yeah. So for me, I have, I got to watch because like if I have stuff that's too weedy,
okay,
like that doesn't work in my stomach.
Right.
You know?
Sure.
And so I like a lighter taste.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm at either end. I like a lighter taste or I love like a Guinness.
Okay.
Like
yeah.
Something thick.
Yeah. We're
and
big
heavy.
Stout guys around here. Like that's our, yeah.
Yeah. I went to Ireland and I had always to play golf and I had always heard that, a Guinness in Ireland is not like a Guinness here.
Right.
And I thought, well, the hell, it's a Guinness. A Guinness is a Guinness. And I did. And oh my gosh, is it delicious. I love it. So I like, there's a couple organic beers out here,
mm-hmm.
Crafty sort of beers, and they're really light and I like them. That would be my preference, I think.
You got a name or something you'd like to recommend? We got some BC listeners.
I do. there's Red Mill.
Okay.
And it's an organic beer, and I really like it.
Okay.
And it's light.
Now, I had Chris Cuthbert on a week or so ago and asked him the same question. He said, not really a craft beer guy, although he did give a shout out to Chris Phillips, and he's got a brewery here in the Ottawa area, the Big yep. Rig Brewery. But he said he is a beer guy, but more and more as he's going out, especially if he's with you, there's going to be wine, and it's usually yes. red. Anything on that side, like a winery maybe that that you're big into or that you might want to recommend for some of our listeners?
Well, I'm a BC. I like BC wines, mm-hmm. you know, and we're spoiled, of course. I mean, sure, like yeah. we're 4 hours away from where the wineries actually are.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, it's not like you're running into a shipping problem.
Right.
You know, like it's sitting right there. Well, so the Okanagan wines, I like a lot. There's several different little breweries, like Blue Mountain is one that I like a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a bigger red, like a, you know, I like a cab.
Sure.
As much as I can. I do like but I will try other, like I Merlot maybe, Shiraz maybe. But for me it would be more BC wines. Now, when my wife and I were working for NBC, we were at the Olympics in Italy.
Mm-hmm. Oh boy.
And
good so Italian we were, background yourself.
Oh man. So like what we laughed at was the their table wine is like spectacular.
Right.
Right. And so we were in the Piedmont region, in Turin where the Olympics were, and so we got an education in the Barolos.
Oh yeah.
And oh my gosh, they're fantastic. But what we learned was a Barolo in Italy is the same bottle is not the same bottle here because they have to put sulfites and stuff in to transport it.
Okay.
Like the Barolo there, I mean, literally is from like there's nothing in it.
Right.
It's just and it's awesome. That would be my favorite. Now with Chris, that is a, you know, we'll go and discuss what's just happened in the game and have a glass of red and a little snack. And, that's a game ender almost every time for us.
Is that maybe part of, and I got a few things both on the broadcast and on the player side I'd like to ask you about, but is one of the big things you hear from former players is, as much as missing the game, they miss the locker room, or right? They miss the camaraderie. And so you had a long NHL career. Do you find that the broadcast side of things now, especially where you're on the road and you know, there's producers and camera guys and part of your crew and play-by-play guys and stuff, does it help maybe pacify that side of it a little bit? Is that maybe part of the draw of moving into the broadcast side is still talking about the game and being out with your team kind of thing, right?
Like, well, I mean, the best part about the broadcast side, of course, is you're, you know, I stand between the benches. I'm as close to the ice as I possibly can be.
Yeah.
Now, maybe all that's going to change and maybe there'll never be any place
right.
between the benches, right? Like who knows?
Yeah, we have no idea.
So I love what I do. Because I get to talk about the game. It's a game I've been, you know, that's been my life since I was 5 years old. And that's a big part of the draw of it is that I get to still be involved in the game. As far as the team and the crew, the real point to that is not so much the hanging out, you know, and being around each other.
Mm-hmm.
It's about that, you know, your team has to put on this game together.
Right.
And it's only us, right? There's nobody else to help you with it.
Mm-hmm.
It's just us, the director, the producer, the tape guys, the technical director, the camera people. It's just us. And so it feels like a real team.
Sure.
And so the crazy part about the regular season is, you know, everybody's busy doing their games. You fly in, you do the game, you go to the next one. Your crew, part of it might be going somewhere else. Right? Because they got a different schedule.
Sure, yeah. Someone's meeting up with Gord Miller somewhere else and you're flying home and
Yeah, so for me the the immediate people that I work with, so Gordon, Chris,
yeah,
every time, right? Yeah. And then my producers, two of them generally, one that works most of the Leaf games, one that works the Senators games, mm-hmm, the two directors that work by their sides, and the tape guys, the guys that when you see a highlight, they're the ones that as the play's going on, I'm talking to them in my headset saying, I want that turnover, I want that pass, I want this, I want that. They watch the game, Matt, backwards. So, because they've got a, they're watching it, and then I say, I want that.
Sure. Want coming that out of the next commercial, I need that.
Yeah, they got to go, well, yeah, but we might not have the commercial. Sure, it might just be the whistle. Yeah.
Right now.
And so they got to wheel it back, and then it's queued up, and when it comes on, 99% of the time it's right. Like, it's amazing how good they do at this.
Yeah.
And like, they listen to what I'm hoping to get. They do their best to get it. And that's our team. Like, that's the stuff that when you have the, when you've got the right people,
yeah,
and everybody kind of fits, like there's nights you walk out and you go, yeah, we didn't miss much tonight. That was pretty good.
Right. I guess, you know, maybe to follow up on that, you know, to, as someone who played as long as you did in the National Hockey League, there's a certain amount of obviously a competitive drive that goes into it. I don't really want to talk network to network. Sportsnet has the national rights now, but I think for most of us hardcore fans, and the ratings bear this out on trade deadline day and free agent frenzy day and stuff, we still prefer the TSN broadcast. Is there like a competitiveness that goes into it in terms of, I want to be really good. You know, I know this is a big game or a big broadcast. I want our coverage to be better than their coverage. And even just, you know, Chris Cuthbert wouldn't bite on this kind of talk at all. He's turned out to be a super humble guy, but just, you know, I believe he's the best play-by-play guy in the business. And I believe the difference between him and Gord Miller is razor thin. I think TSN has the best play-by-play guys in the business. And I think, you know, you're easily the best analyst in the business. Like, are you driven as a broadcaster the same way you might have been as an athlete, right? To, I want to be the best at this.
Well, the competitive stuff between the networks, that probably is higher up,
right,
the food chain.
Sure.
But when the rights first got transferred from, you know, Bell TSN, yep, to Rogers Sportsnet, there really was that competitive,
sure,
check.
We're going to show you.
Yeah. Well, now, you know, we're 6 years into it.
Yeah.
And everybody's doing what they're doing. And I don't really care if they do a good show or not. It's got nothing to do with me. So we need to do our best with our show.
Mm-hmm.
And we're, you know, and I know like at TSN, we're, you know, I can't speak for what the Sportsnet guys say about themselves, but we're proud of what we put on the air.
Mm-hmm.
And we're always kind of, there's kind of like an internal competition that everybody is doing their thing. I'm not going to get left behind.
Right.
So as far as doing the games, like, you know, I go to work with Gord and Chris, man, like, yeah, not for one second do I ever think, gee, I hope these guys are prepared. Like, never.
No,
right. Like,
they're both fantastic.
They're awesome.
Yeah.
And so I go and I do my thing. I prep my games. I take what I do really seriously. I thought when I retired and I was starting to do this that, look, I've played hockey since I was five and I've always, you know, I've been a talker my whole life. You know, it's, that part comes easily. You know, I'll pick it up. Well, I had no idea what the prep was like. And maybe I prep in a way that I don't need to, but I want to be as good at this as I can be.
Mm-hmm.
And so the difference, of course, between something like broadcasting and playing is that when you play, at the end of the night, you look up and there's a $10 million scoreboard there and it tells you whether you won or not.
Yeah. Oh, I'm dashed here, right, tonight. Shit. Right.
Like, yeah. Like, you know it, man.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, it's sitting right there for you. And I didn't need anybody, and I still don't need anybody to tell me whether I've done a good or a poor job,
right,
that night. Like, if I played a bad game, I knew. If I have a broadcast where I'm fumbling all over the place, I know.
Right.
But the difference is there's a standings and, you know, you're a direct correlation between what you do and those standings.
Right.
And in broadcast, it's all, for the most part, it's pretty objective. You know, some people like me. I'm sure there's people that don't.
Right.
And there's no scoreboard to that.
No.
They might not like the sound of my voice. They might think I talk too much. They might think I don't do this enough or don't incorporate something. And I don't even know, but there is no scoreboard to it.
Right. Well, I guess, you know, I don't want to make this uncomfortable for you, but you have to be aware that you are very well regarded in the business, right? Like that people really enjoy your broadcast, or is that something that you choose not to, you know, I know you're very active on Twitter, which a lot of people in your place choose not to be. There's a lot of really bad shit on Twitter. You know, but is that something that
I am aware. I mean, I'm aware because people have been kind enough to say that enough that I hear them, mm-hmm. and I'm proud of it.
Yeah.
I can't do anything sort of half-assed.
Right.
And so once I started to learn this business a little bit, I'm like thinking to myself, okay, how can I get better at it? Like, what am I doing? I'm watching other guys. I'm critiquing other guys on the air while I'm sitting on my couch. Not because I want to say that this guy's no good or that guy's no good. No, I'm like, oh, I like what he did there.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I like that too. I don't like that so much. Well, so you steal what you can, but at the end of the day, what I've learned here, and I was told maybe to my benefit, I was told very little when I started about broadcasting.
Right.
Nobody gave me any real tips or you just kind of did it. And maybe that was a good thing because I got to develop whatever my style is.
Mm-hmm.
But I was told, just be yourself. Whatever that is, just be yourself. And so for me, I don't feel like I have to broadcast to act. Right. Now, I think Tony Romo's fantastic.
He's very good.
Well, I think he's just being Tony Romo.
Yeah. And it's so funny because he clearly knows what he's looking for. And there's memes.
But Matt, you could be really sure what you're looking for. If you can't communicate to the viewer.
Yep.
It's like a coach that's brilliant and he can't get his system across.
If you can't explain it, if you can't communicate it,
it doesn't matter.
It's useless.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
And so, Romo talks and I think I do, I'm conscious of this. I try to talk like I talk normally.
Right.
Like this is like if somebody drops their stick on the ice in a game and he goes to pick it up and he drops it again and then the puck hits it, knocks it 10 feet away. I can guarantee you I will show that.
Right.
Because I think it's funny.
Yeah.
Like here's one of the best players in the world.
Luck.
He looks like a 5-year-old trying to pick up his stick.
Yeah.
And
why
so
wouldn't we
want to
see that? Yeah.
Right. I think it doesn't all have to be the nuts and bolts of the game. Now there are times when I'm watching the game and I'm cognizant of when I do a highlight, not to say, okay, here comes the guy coming down the wing. He's going around the back of the net. He's looking for somebody in the middle. Well, you guys all can see it.
Yeah.
You got a TV. You're watching it.
Right.
I'm supposed to be able to tell you why he went that way.
Right.
And so that's really the greatest challenge of it that I like the best is telling the why and not what you're seeing.
Right. We referenced, or I did a couple of minutes ago that, you know, at least for my money, and these things come out all the time online, you know, vote on your favorite play-by-play guys or your favorite broadcast teams or whatever. Mm. Gordon, Chris are both fantastic. Is there a difference when you go to work with them? Like Chris might do this a little different. Gordon might throw to me a little more often on this. He may back out on something. You know, both of them fantastic, but, you know, is there little differences that you account for when you're going to work with them?
Yeah, for sure there is. Their styles are different. Gord and I are more likely to end up in a conversation during the play about a player, about a stat, about something that's interesting. Or if the game's bad, we might talk about how I got lost on the way to the ring. Right? Like there's more of a conversation.
We have heard
with
a story or two like that.
Oh, damn, I get lost all over the place. And Chris and I don't do that as much, but I'm equally as comfortable. Mm-hmm. Like Chris's style is is more just game oriented. Gourds would be more storytelling oriented.
Right.
And so, you know, I bounce back and forth between the two of them. I'm comfortable with both, but I'm comfortable with both because they're honestly, and I'm not blowing smoke here, they're spectacular at what they do.
For sure they are.
And so it's easy to be in Gord's mode and it's easy to be in Chris's mode for me.
You spent time in both Hartford and Atlanta, both of those cities no longer in the league. I can't imagine you're responsible for that, but you were a part of that.
Yeah.
So,
well, you never know.
If we ignored the business side of it, the population side of it, you know, Hartford's less than 200,000 people and Atlanta is what it is. If you could drop a good team into one of those communities, like Atlanta's tried twice, but neither time was the team ever really any good. Do you think either of those markets, you know, I guess, which one would you prefer if you were going to be dropped in as a GM or something to try and start a team in? And, you know, was there something
Hartford.
There? Yeah, yeah.
Hartford. You know, you mentioned Atlanta's had a team twice, and there's so much going on in Atlanta, and when you get down there, you start to realize it. You know, there's pro football, pro basketball. Now there's pro soccer that draws 50,000 fans a night. You've got Georgia Tech, Georgia.
Yeah.
You know, the high school football is enormous.
Right.
Like I don't think Canadians have any idea. So we thought, you know, my family and I would get to Atlanta. Oh, yeah, the high school football game's Friday night. It's down just Brookwood High is just down the school, down the street. We'll go down there. So we drive up. The game's at 7. We drive up like 6:45. Like we were like 2 hours late to get a seat.
It's like a tailgate party. It's a 30,000 seat stadium.
Oh, it's we're like, this is not like the local high school.
Right.
And so like that, those are all competitors to pro hockey in Atlanta. The other thing is it is a nightmare to get around there traffic wise.
Okay.
When people talk and you read about urban sprawl, it's Atlanta they're talking about. Like it is a tough place to get around. Hartford, you know, I mean, the population is an issue, of course, but I think you would have an easy time getting it up and running.
Right.
People love the Whalers. There still is a Whalers fan club. Right.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
And, you know, so people love the Whale. They, you know, we really connected to the city and felt like it was our home. I loved playing there.
Do you think it obviously I did look just before, they have a population right now of less than 200,000, but that's Hartford itself. Like there's an area around there.
Oh, sure. There's Farmington, Avon, Simsbury. There's plenty that's all within 20 minutes.
Like it was just the business that took them out, right? It wasn't a lack of a hockey culture in that area.
No, yeah. No, it was, you know, the insurance agencies who were the core of Hartford, they got some tax breaks and a lot of big firms moved to Jersey. And that really took a lot of the guts out of the financial strength of the community. So, but I mean, it's not big enough. It can't support today's game.
I know you're a Red Sox guy. I've always been a Blue Jays guy. And I like to look, there's been a ton of talk lately, again, about Roy Halladay as, you know, Sportsnet's been rerunning a bunch of old Blue Jays stuff. And one of the things that you look at in baseball, especially, is an ace pitcher who, for some reason, for the life of him, cannot get out a number 8 hitter who bats 190 for his career. Or vice versa. There's, you know, a killer batter, a David Ortiz, who for the life of him, there's just some nobody that he can't see the ball coming out of his hand. I wonder if you look back in your career, is there like a defenseman that was like fine, but not an all-star that, you know, just read your game and made sure you were going to have a bad night, or a goalie that, you know, it wasn't Patrick Waugh. It was just some guy who seemed to have your number.
Probably lots. You know, it's not one, that's for sure. I'm trying to go through like guys that had size and were mobile were an issue because back then, you know, you had to work pretty hard to get a penalty.
Yeah.
So a guy like Randy Moeller, who played in Quebec when I was in Hartford, mm-hmm. he could skate. He was big. Like that was always a problem for me.
Right.
Right. Like, it goes without saying, like, Chris Chelios was a problem for me. Nick Lidstrom was
sure,
a problem.
Yeah. They were
a problem for lots of guys.
Yeah.
But, like a guy, like, I'm just trying to go through, you know, you go through teams and, you know, and Moeller's a guy that would be a problem. Like,
he's a broadcaster now in Florida, isn't he? I think.
Yes.
Yes.
Like one guy who was just miserable to play against. I hated it. Is the late Brad McCrimmon.
Okay. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. He was good and tough and mean, and he never said a word. And those guys are freaky. So Brad, who was just a fabulous person, he died in the locomotive plane crash.
Yeah.
He was a bear to play against.
I just got a couple more for you if you've got the time here.
Yep.
You've now moved into at a buddy of mine, and sometimes he comes on the show here, but he said that he absolutely loves you as a broadcaster, but is sick of hearing you in his video game because you're always the guy who's pointing out every little mistake that he makes.
Sure, yeah. I had a call today from one of my producers. Say, I guess he got thumped by his 8-year-old, and he said, "You were not very impressed with my playing." I'm like, oh, sorry.
So that has to be something that you hear about more and more often. How does that opportunity arise? I've heard that it's a monotonous job. I believe Jim Houston has said he would never go back. Like, there's so much repeating. You know, every he shoots, he scores has to be accompanied by a different player's name. So you're repeating all kinds of. How does that opportunity come about, and kind of how does that play into maybe your schedule as you kind of move through it?
Well, it came about because I live in Vancouver and EA's studios are in Burnaby, which is a suburb of Vancouver.
Yeah.
And so that was the initial, hey, do you want to try this? So I went in and did an audition and they liked it. And so this is 5 years now for me.
Mm-hmm.
So basically I go into a sound booth, there's nothing there except a microphone and a computer screen. I'm not watching the game. I'm not watching a game. I just have a scenario on the computer screen and I make up whatever I say.
Right.
So we are in, you know, I mean, of course now everything's different, but we're in the studio, 20 hours a month.
Okay.
And so, if Jim thought it was monotonous when he was doing it, it is multiplied, I will say, fivefold.
At least.
Since I started.
Oh, man.
Okay. So it never ends. We're in there 11 months of the year and over 200 hours a year.
And it's just Austin Matthews with the great poach check, Mitch Marner with the great poach check. Is
no,
that kind of
no,
the,
no.
no?
No. What'll happen is there'll be a scenario. It'll say, you know, third period, one team is leading by 3 or more goals.
Okay.
And so I'll make something up about that. Well, in another day, I have gone through every team and recorded that. And I mean every team, European teams.
Yeah.
Teams
junior
that teams. Players teams that players make up. and then you do a thing called the phone book where you literally read players' names. I've done
Aaron A. Aronson with a great stop tonight.
No, you just say their name.
Yeah, okay.
So it might be you put a little tag on it, on the name, so they have they can edit it easily.
Right.
So I might say Jones has the puck, Smith has the puck, Ferraro has the puck.
Right.
And then they just take the name out, and I don't know how all that works, mm-hmm. but that ends up in, you know, so-and-so with a shot, another guy with a shot. It's because I've recorded all those
every
names.
Single name in all kinds of countries. Yeah. In
all and the reason we're in so much is because the players don't want it to be repetitious.
Yeah.
And so you have to find a new way to say the goalie made a save with his right pad. You've got to find 10 ways to say it.
Because there's going to be nerds like me who play it for 300 hours a year or whatever.
No, but that's exactly
yeah.
That's exactly it. The frequent players are the ones that say, hey, this is getting a little monotonous. And right. there's a chat board. They go on and EA listens to them and they're like, okay, we got to build some new stuff here.
Is it something, I mean, you're 5 years in and you haven't bailed on it. Do you enjoy doing it or does it become are there days where you're like, oh, it's a little,
oh, there's
only
days, there's
L in the
there's
phone
There's days
book.
Like that. Yeah, there's days like that. But it's like anything. I mean, if you like the people you work with, it becomes, you know, more fun. And the group at EA that I work with, you know, the people I see they're awesome. They love what they do. We have fun. We, you know, we joke around and then we get a bunch of stuff done and then we go for lunch and come back and then you're right back into it again. And I really like doing it. I'm proud of what we've been able to do.
You moved, you know, pretty quickly from your playing career, I believe actually, and you'll correct me if I'm wrong, you were still active the first time that you started doing, you know, some analyst work in the studio, I believe it was for ESPN. Is that correct?
Right. Yeah. Yep. I was playing for Los Angeles at the time.
So you end up kind of getting into it that way. And then after you retire, it's Edmonton first. You're a color guy.
Yep. For 5 years.
I wonder, was it easier when you first started because you still knew so many of the players? And as you're breaking down a play, I know what that guy's going to do. I know what that guy's move is. Or is it a challenge because, well, I kind of like that guy. I don't really want to rip him for making a bad play. And so it becomes easier as you know less and less of the guys. Kind of what's the breakdown there like, you know, from now where there's no one, I can't imagine. Well, maybe Chara. There's got to be a couple guys in the league that you played against.
Yeah, it was never easy because I didn't know what the heck I was doing.
Okay.
Right? And so, like, you're learning on the fly.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's difficult. As far as critiquing players that I knew or played against, I just always keep in my head, and I always have, that the game's really hard.
Yeah.
Doesn't look that way on TV, but it's really hard. And so if I'm going to critique a player, I'm not just going to say, you know, Jones has had a terrible game. He's got to be better. I'm going to tell you why he's had a tough game and why he can be better.
Yep.
And so I've never had a problem for myself critiquing a player because in my mind I'm honest and I'm fair. And while some of the guys might not like some of the things I've said, when they take a step back, I don't think anyone. Well, at least nobody said to me they don't think I'm fair.
I was just going
to
say, I mean, do you hear about it?
Maybe
like you're between
think,
the benches.
Yeah,
someone
guys.
Skate by and be like, ah, that was bullshit what you said? Or
not that, but
no.
I've heard from a couple guys.
Yeah.
And so you have a chat, and sometimes it goes to an argument. But that's I don't mind that. I'm doing my job the best I can. I do my best to not have anything personal involved in it.
Yeah.
You know, like, I don't, honestly, Matt, I don't care who wins. I could care less.
Right.
You would find, you'll have a tough time.
Oh, I hear
finding
on Twitter
someone.
You hate my team. That's the.
No, but I mean, you'll have a tough time finding someone that cares less than me.
Right.
Who wins or who scores, or it's just not my job to care.
No.
My job is to provide analysis. And, you know, I think that's helped me as well.
The World Juniors, you pick up for Pierre Maguire for a long time. That was kind of the Gordon Pierre show. I wonder, do you find that to be, at least the first time or two you do it, like, these are our kids that most of us going into it, forget Team Canada, other we've never heard of. There's names you've got to learn. There's guys you've got to know. What's that challenge like? And then even just building it into the holiday season, you've got a family and sometimes you're off to God knows where in Russia or Switzerland or Sweden. Recently, I suppose you got to spend one at home. That must have been kind of nice. But what is the World Junior experience like for you when you pick that up?
Best games I do all year.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah.
I mean, I love how much it means to our country. I love how much it means to those kids. I would say these are the only 2 weeks of the year where I do keep in mind that they're kids.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, I'll give you an example. Elias Sanderson, the Swedish captain, when he threw his medal over the glass at Buffalo.
Yeah. Yep.
So I saw it and I'm like, oh, damn, I got to say something about that.
And
I said to the producer, I go, we got to show that. And he's like, yeah, I know, we're queuing it up. And I don't recall exactly what I said, but I know that I was a lot more understanding that I might have been had it been a professional.
Right.
And so I keep that in mind. These kids, this is the highlight of their life. And I also understand, and I hope people do understand, for a great many of these kids, these will be the most important games that they ever play in their life. And so I love the tournament. I was nervous certainly when I started. There's all kinds of work that goes into learning the names, building the backgrounds on the players so you can talk about them with credibility. And, you know, I think, you know, Gord and I have, you know, do a really good job with that. We do a hell of a lot of research. And, you know, Gord's been almost at this for 30 years, right? The World Juniors. And so he is an incredible resource for me. And, you know, I think we look at this as like we're a real good team at it. And we love doing it. Like this tournament is the best.
Do you have a favorite one? We had James Duthie on not too long ago, and they all kind of have their charm. There's something kind of cool during the holiday season about being able to wake up in the morning. And I know you're over in Russia and it might not be the same, but me and my dad get to get up and have a beer together at 8 a.m. while you're calling whatever's happening. The ones at home always have a killer vibe. Do you have one that stands out to you? Like that was a lot of fun to do that one.
Well, the Canada-Russia gold medal game in Toronto, that was 6-5.
Yeah, that was a killer game. That was the Connor McDavid. Oh,
it was such an incredible game.
Yeah.
Like that would be the one that I pick first. One of my favorite moments was the goaltender of that tournament was this little guy from Slovakia, Dennis Golden.
Dennis, yes. And they were chanting in Toronto. They were chanting for him.
It was the best. It was one of my favorite moments. I would say over in Europe when Rasmus Ristolainen scored the was it Ristolainen or was it Kapanen?
I thought it was Kappy.
I think it's Kapanen.
Yeah.
Kapanen scored the tournament winning. Ristolainen got one.
Yeah.
Got an overtime game winner somewhere or tournament winner in another tournament, but it's the one in Helsinki.
Kapanen in Helsinki, I think. Yeah.
And man, that place just exploded, and the Finns can party, and so my family was there. We had a great tournament. That was so much fun.
Do they enjoy it, or do they wish Dad was home more at the holidays? I've seen Gord Miller tell a story that his daughters have been, or daughter, I don't want to be.
Yeah, daughter, yeah, Blair.
That has been to a pile of these, but she's the one sitting in the building with her headphones on and couldn't possibly care less.
Yeah, no, our boys love the tournament. And of course, Cammy, my wife, who is, you know, the first woman
we inducted know Cammy Granato,
into the Hall of Fame, she just loves it. And we have had some of our best family adventures at these tournaments. And we were in Ostrava this year in the Czech Republic and had an unbelievable time. It was so great. And so I love it. The one here in Vancouver that was like a dream for me. I got to drive to the rink and drive home. We got to spend Christmas in our home, and that doesn't happen very often. So it's there are sacrifices to it, but I'm telling you, Matt, it's it's a great tournament. It's great for our family. We just love it.
Last thing for you then, as we kind of approach, we're seeing more and more talk about the return of the NHL. We don't know exactly what it's going to look like, but they are inching closer. Have you been given any sort of, I know it's usually with NBC, direction on, you know, whether you might call games remotely, what that might look like for you as we kind of inch our way back in?
You know, nope, nothing at all.
Yeah.
So I'm sitting and waiting. And as I said to a buddy today, I'm not sure what I'm waiting for, but
right.
I'm waiting.
Right.
You know, so, you know, today was a step. Today's Monday and the 25th. And as we record this and, you know, they released the first, you know, the second phase of the protocols to get going. But man, there's a lot of steps to go.
Always
so no idea.
Yeah. This has been awesome. I can't tell you how much I appreciate you taking a little time. I kept you longer than I probably should have here. Maybe when things get back a little closer to normal, you make your way through town in one of these regional games, we can lure you in with a stout or something like we do with most of our guests.
Yep, that would be awesome. I would love it.
Thank you so much for doing this, Ray. Really appreciate it.
Well, have a great day, and hope you're safe and everybody around you is being safe too. And when next time through, we'll have to connect on over one of these one of these craft beers. We'll have to see what we can come up with.
That would be awesome. So there he goes. The best in the biz at what he does, Ray Ferraro. Really cool of him to take so much time. Had a little bit of fun there. I enjoyed that he was willing to get in, talk a little bit of craft beer with us. That's something big that we're into around here. And for some of you people who are more into the wine scene, there you go. He even had a take on that for you. So really cool to see. Really happy that he made some time for us. I enjoyed that. I hope you did as well. Not sure what's coming next for you guys, to be honest with you. There's some more names out there, some more guests that we would love to have on the show. Also want to touch base with some of our more regulars. It's been a couple of weeks since we've had Matty Lang on the show. Would love to touch base with him, see what he's up to. Maybe Team Canada's Amy Burke. She's obviously still kind of working her way through the fact that Tokyo 2020 was postponed a year. I don't know what your training looks like at that point, right? I don't know how you gear up for a whole other year when you thought you were coming to the end of this quadrennial. So some interesting things happening there for her as well. Maybe we should touch base with her. And of course, Rob is always back and forth on the show, but there are plenty of names out there that we would still love to have on the podcast. We're going to keep trying to grab these people for you and see what we can get. We've done pretty well here lately. If you're new to the show, make sure you scroll back down the podcast feed a little bit. James Duthie's been here. Chris Cuthbert has been here. James Myrtle, Jeff Fayette, Dave Bedini from The Real Statics and the West End Phoenix. We're doing pretty well here over the last couple of months, and we're going to try and keep that going. If you have names, you have suggestions from people you might want to hear on the show, I can't promise that they'll come on, but I can promise we'll take a swing at it and see if we can get that done. You can visit the contact page at tallcanaudio.com. Or just reach out to us on any of our social media feeds. We are at TallCanAudio on Twitter and Instagram. We are at Facebook.com/TallCanAudio. Always looking to interact with you good listeners. Always open to suggestions, so let us know what you think. That's going to do it for another episode of the Tall Can Sports Podcast here on the Tall Can Audio Network. If you haven't done so yet and you enjoyed the show, make sure you hit the subscribe or the follow button there on your podcast app. And certainly if you're on Apple, we would love it if you would take a second, leave a rating and a review. I know you hear this on all your favorite shows, but it really does help you move up the rankings. It helps you become more discoverable to other people. It would help us out a great deal if you would consider leaving a rating and a review as well. Until next time, my name is Matt Robinson, and we will catch you all later.
We're not going to be fucking sucked this year!
Thanks for listening. You can get more TCA at TallCanAudio.com or by searching TallCanAudio on your favorite podcast app.